The Power of an Idea, The Visa Story. A Vision for Financial Inclusion. In the early 1900s, a young Italian immigrant named Amedeo Peter Giannini had a revolutionary idea. He believed that banking should serve not just the wealthy elite, but everyday working people. This vision was born from personal tragedy. Giannini's father was murdered over a mere $1 debt. The injustice of this event ignited a passion in young Amedeo to democratize finance and empower the common man. As I delved into researching the origins of Visa, I was struck by Giannini's unwavering commitment to this ideal. In 1904, he founded the Bank of Italy in San Francisco, determined to provide financial services to immigrants, laborers, and small business owners who were typically shunned by traditional banks. Giannini's approach was radical for the time. He actively sought out these underserved communities, even learning multiple languages to better connect with his diverse clientele. The true test of Giannini's vision came in 1906, when a devastating earthquake struck San Francisco. While other banks barricaded their vaults, Giannini salvaged what cash he could and set up a makeshift bank on a wharf, extending loans to help rebuild the city. This bold move not only saved his fledgling bank, but cemented its reputation as an institution that truly served the people. As Giannini's bank grew into Bank of America, his commitment to financial inclusion never wavered. He pioneered concepts we now take for granted: branch banking, auto loans, and perhaps most significantly, the idea of revolving credit for consumers. This last innovation would plant the seeds for what would eventually become Visa. The birth of Bank AmeriCard. In 1958, Bank of America launched an audacious experiment, the Bank AmeriCard. This was the first true revolving credit card designed for widespread consumer use. The initial rollout was chaotic, to say the least. In what became known as the Fresno Drop, Bank of America mailed out 60,000 unsolicited credit cards to residents of Fresno, California. The results were predictably messy, rampant fraud, confusion among merchants, and a public relations nightmare. Yet despite these early stumbles, the fundamental idea proved sound. Consumers embraced the convenience and flexibility of this new form of payment. Bank AmeriCard began to spread beyond California, licensed to banks in other states. However, this expansion brought its own set of challenges. By the late 1960s, the Bank AmeriCard program was losing money for many of its member banks. The system lacked standardization, and banks were struggling to process transactions efficiently across state lines. It was clear that a new approach was needed if the credit card concept was to reach its full potential. Enter D. Hawk, a visionary leader. This is where our story takes an unexpected turn, with the entrance of a remarkable figure named D. Hawk. Hawk was an unconventional thinker with a deep aversion to bureaucracy and rigid hierarchies. When he was tasked with saving the faltering Bank AmeriCard program, Hawk saw an opportunity to create something truly revolutionary. Hawk's genius lay in recognizing that the future of electronic payments required a completely new type of organization. He envisioned a system that was both highly centralized in its operations, yet decentralized in its ownership and control. This seemingly paradoxical structure would allow for the efficiency of a single global network, while preserving the independence and competitiveness of individual banks. In 1970, Hawk convinced the member banks to spin off Bank AmeriCard into an independent entity, National Bank AmeriCard Inc., NBI. This new organization would be collectively owned by its member banks, with a mission to create a unified global electronic payment system. Hawk's leadership style was as unconventional as his organizational ideas. He fostered a culture of innovation and questioning, often challenging his team with philosophical discussions and abstract thought experiments. One of his favorite exercises was to ask employees to contemplate the question, if money were designed from scratch today, what would it look like? The birth of Visa, a global revolution. As NBI expanded internationally, Hawk recognized the need for a truly global brand. In 1976, he led the transformation of Bank AmeriCard into Visa, a name chosen for its universal recognition and positive connotations across languages and cultures. The rebranding to Visa was more than cosmetic. It represented a fundamental shift in how the organization saw itself. No longer just a credit card company, Visa positioned itself as a technology company at the forefront of the emerging electronic payments revolution. Under Hawk's leadership, Visa developed groundbreaking systems like BaseI and BaseII, which dramatically improved the speed and reliability of transaction processing. These innovations laid the groundwork for the real-time, global payment network we know today. But perhaps Hawk's most enduring legacy was the organizational structure he created for Visa. He called it the chaotic organization, a blend of chaos and order that allowed for both stability and innovation. This unique structure enabled Visa to grow into a global powerhouse while remaining highly adaptive to changing technologies and market conditions. Visa's global impact. As I researched Visa's expansion, I was continually amazed by its transformative effect on economies around the world. In country after country, the introduction of Visa cards and electronic payments acted as a catalyst for economic growth and financial inclusion. Take Japan, for instance. In the 1980s, Visa worked closely with Japanese banks to introduce credit cards to a society that had long been cash dependent. This shift not only changed consumer behavior, but also helped modernize Japan's retail and banking sectors. Or consider the role of Visa in emerging economies. In countries like India and Brazil, Visa's technology has enabled millions of people to access financial services for the first time. Mobile payment solutions built on Visa's network are bringing banking to remote villages and urban slums alike. But Visa's impact goes beyond just facilitating transactions. The company has been at the forefront of combating financial fraud and cybercrime. I was fascinated to learn about Visa's advanced neural networks that can detect fraudulent transactions in real time, protecting consumers and merchants alike. The future of money. As I conclude this journey through Visa's history, I'm struck by how relevant Giannini and Hawk's original vision remains today. In an era of cryptocurrencies, mobile wallets, and artificial intelligence, the fundamental challenge remains the same: how to create a financial system that is both efficient and inclusive. Visa continues to evolve, embracing new technologies like blockchain and exploring concepts like central bank digital currencies. Yet at its core, it remains true to the mission of empowering individuals and businesses through access to electronic payments. The story of Visa is more than just a corporate history. It's a testament to the power of a simple idea, that finance should serve everyone, and how that idea, nurtured by visionary leaders and innovative thinkers, grew into a global revolution that has fundamentally reshaped our world. As we look to the future, the lessons of Visa's past remain relevant. The need for financial inclusion, the power of collaborative networks, and the importance of adapting to technological change. These principles will continue to shape the evolution of money and payments in the years to come. In the end, Visa's story reminds us that the most powerful innovations often start with a simple, human-centered idea. It's a story that continues to unfold, with each transaction, in every corner of the globe.